On this episode of Deep Thrones, we review the House of the Dragon Season 2 Green and Black trailers. We look scene by scene at what potentially lies ahead. We break down minute details that some might have missed. Plus, Chris and I make the case for why our side is the right side. Winter is here.
Welcome to Deep Thrones. This is your host, Chris Sims. Another host here, John Sheedy. What's up?
Hey, everybody. We're back. Oh, my God.
I said another host instead of co-host intentionally this time.
I know. We just did a quick trial run because we're nervous because it's been a while. And he said co-host, and I didn't care. Call me whatever you want. Just don't call me late for dinner.
So this episode, we're going to be breaking down the trailer. Actually, trailers, plural, to season two of House of the Dragon, which we're super pumped for.
I actually got a question from friend of the pod, Rob, who funded us once, and he...
Allegedly.
Yes, but he said, he's like, did you guys know it was going to be two trailers? And I said, yes, because we did sleuth work. We actually did, because Olivia Cook posted, tomorrow's the trailer, is, she put, like, the S in quotes, and I texted Chris, I was like, I bet they're doing a greens and blacks trailer.
Yeah, she had, like, the little green dot thing, too, in that
post. Yeah, so. She's team greens.
That was good detective work there,
for sure. We got the release date, June 16th, which is Father's Day, and you're a dad, twice.
You're gonna have to get me something for Father's Day.
You're the dad of the pod, and you're the dad of a little girl.
I'm Pod Poppy.
He's Pod Poppy.
Yeah, you have to refer to me as Pod Poppy from here on out.
Okay.
We did hit up HBO's tip jar and we dropped in, hey, lean in more to the greens and blacks angle. You're not doing it enough.
We did. And did you see what they're doing on Instagram?
Maybe.
They're doing, HBO Max has been doing a thing with the college basketball teams. When Oregon won, they posted like team greens and then a team in black jerseys. I forgot who. One and they said Team Blacks. That's really awesome. Cool. Yeah, see, fun.
They listened to our tip for sure.
Yeah, and they did like people from like Secession wearing a green shirt. They did all these HBO characters wearing black. They're really leaning in.
Love it. Speaking of March Madness tournament, we are in the middle of our Deep Thrones House of the Dragon tournament.
We got the Sweet 16 coming March 26th. That's this week. So this is canon. This works. This is evergreen. This actually plays.
Yeah, we've had some great matchups thus far. Yeah. I mean, upset of the year, Viserys Targaryen over Jacaerys Targaryen.
That was heated. We had some messages in the DMs not happy.
I mean, Viserys is literally dead at this point.
Yeah, but so is, I mean, a lot of people are dead that still resonate, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm very disappointed in the voters there.
I agree. There were some, Laerys winning by one vote to Laenor. That shocked me. I not because Laerys won. I think Laerys should have won in a landslide.
In a landslide?
In terms of his importance, but I was fully prepared for him to lose because people hate Team Greens and the voters are fools.
Well, people actually just hate Laerys particularly.
I don't know why.
He's very slimy and slippery.
Yeah, this foot scene too threw everybody off. But yeah. I do agree the Viserys Jace one was, I think, the biggest upset so far.
And then Rhaenyra just dominating 100% of the votes over Grand Maester Orwyle.
Which is insane to me. A good doctor goes a long way. The dude leeches Viserys like multiple times. And the Viserys loved those leechings.
Viserys died, though.
That's a good point. Yeah, Rhaenyra deserved 100%. Again, I voted for Rhaenyra.
Like, she's super dead. Yeah. Like, Viserys is 100% dead.
I will say, Aegon barely beating Helaena was kind of a joke.
Yeah.
Because, again, people are going to vote against him because he's a piece of shit.
Whatever. You're saying it like it's not factual. Whatever. He is a piece of shit.
But he's one of the most important characters. He's an important guy.
Yeah,
the story.
Helena's fairly important,
and she has a heart of gold.
Yeah, she's a nice girl. So that kind of brings us to what we've come here to talk about.
Trailers.
We'll start with the green trailer.
Should we? All right. Let me. If you hear any paper rustling, this is it doubles as an ASMR episode for us. So let's start with the green trailer. So they did it. They released two trailers. And the greens was the first one that I actually watched, and it was a little bit longer, which I thought was interesting. I don't, it, you know, maybe
a little bit longer than the Blacks trailer.
It was, but by time,
probably just trying to compensate for their
shortcomings. I think there was just more. I think they were like, "This is, we got to show them all the good stuff that's about to happen." The trailer opens. Allison is praying, and there's a voiceover. She's telling Laris that Viserys wanted Aegon as king because he knew the realm would not accept a queen. She's digging in, and I think, I don't know if it's lying to herself, but I think she believes it.
I think she truly believes it, and I think that plays a big part in this tragedy that's going to follow.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting angle. We were talking about this before we started recording, and we really think that Allison's going to have a kind of deep spiral of depression coming up in this season.
I agree. I think outwardly she'll be strong, but I think on the inside she's going to be questioning the decisions that set forth this war.
Because at the end of the day, the way that it's played out on the show, like, this is all her fault, kind of. Well, kind of. I mean, her dad really plays a heavy hand in it
too. Otto sort of manipulated her, but toward the end, it's sort of like, you pass 99 yards and you get to the one and then the running back hammers it in,
or if you're the Eagles, you do the tush push.
She got tush pushed in.
Tush got pushed in,
honestly.
Wow,
let's just not even touch that. This is our first episode back and I don't think we need to go that hard quite yet. Aegon takes the throne, so there's a lot of cuts like that. Otto bows, obviously. Interesting look on his face, though.
Yeah, it looks like Otto's starting to second guess his decision to make Aegon the king.
I agree. Or even questioning maybe his standing with that king.
Yeah. He doesn't look comfortable.
No.
Let's put it that way.
No, evidently there's a lot of tush pushing going on that side, so I understand. King's Landing is preparing for war. We see on the ramparts of King's Landing, the Red Keep, Arik Cargill, overseeing equipping of some scorpions up top.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen scorpions from Game of Thrones when, apparently they can shoot on moving ships and just take down dragons 100% shot rate.
Yo, still dunking on D&D. We're not done with you guys yet. Your Netflix show looks like trash. No, actually, I want to see it, but we'll a different podcast.
We'll see how accurate the scorpions are this time, but it is interesting. He was looking up in the air as if like something was kind of coming at him, so
yeah.
I wonder if it was just like a training session or just prep, or if there was actually a live threat.
I'm sure at some point there will be, but if there are training and prep things, I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
Plays to the realism of George's world. You know, scorpions don't just show up. Mm-hmm. They have to be built. They have to be placed. And you got to check the skies to make sure it makes sense where you placed it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Otto says that the Blacks are no longer fighting for the good of the realm, but for the satisfaction of vengeance. Obviously, I think in reference to the mistake Aemond made last season and maybe any Black retaliation.
Yeah, I don't think there's too much more to break down there.
Nope. There's a look at Daemon's camp. It looks pretty dope.
Yeah, that, you know, the nerd in me comes out, right? But again, his experience as a commander, you can tell that the tents and everything are set up in lines and there's organization to the camp and stuff. The one thing that's interesting is the setting there. It looks like there's like in a mountainous region, which doesn't really play to Harrenhal or the Riverlands or the Trident area or anything like that. So I'm curious.
They're traveling, though, because from Dragonstone, they have to cross that region to get there, right? The veil and all that. So maybe it's just a traveling scene.
Well,
you know,
in canon, Daemon flies to Harrenhal and raises banners in the Riverlands, so they wouldn't necessarily travel from.
And what'd you think of his armor? I think it looks pretty badass.
The armor looks like Batman.
It does.
It looks sick.
It looks sick. It's a medieval Batman, which honestly, make that movie, DC. We'd love to see it, but
I mean, yeah, but yeah, he'd be more of like a lord than a millionaire.
Yeah, that's true. That'd be interesting. Yeah, but I think he looks sick. I think the tents, like you said, are very organized. We broke down, and you guys should re-listen to our early episodes of our career, but Chris broke down how, even in Game of Thrones, and this is a shout out to probably George because it was early on, Rob's camp was sort of put in a non-opportune spot, and Tywin's camp was like straight lines, fields of vision. So it's just sort of interesting like that, how they could
watchtowers and everything
subliminally show you, if you're not all a learned eye like Chris on battle tactics, that there are smarter ways to do war, which I think is pretty cool. Montage of some quick cuts. There's some dudes in like a tunnel with a light.
They got a little dog with them in the club. They don't look nice.
Looks like they're searching for something down there.
They're looking for gold, maybe. Dude dangling a coin purse at a member of the City Watch, or a cloaked figure dangling a little coin purse at a member of the City Watch.
Could be a lady dangling.
Could be anyone. Aegon says anyone who goes against the king will be paid back 100 times over, and he's talking to Laris Strong in this scene. I think Laris is, as Chris said, he can be a little slippery, so I think this is Aegon's way of saying, like, listen, I know you're slippery, be slippery for us. If you slip the other way, I'm going to slip hard on you.
I think that slip...
is accurate?
I think that's an accurate slip description. I think, I do think that Aegon, as we see, even in the little snippets in this trailer, his position's starting to get to his head a little bit.
I agree. He's
really acting like he has a lot of power, and it reminds me of Joffrey and the Tywin dynamic.
Yeah.
Only Tywin, I think, was a lot more strong and upfront about the fact that he was actually the one in control.
Correct.
And I think Aegon's going to start kind of spiraling and making some wild decisions.
Tywin could control Joffrey. Joffrey feared Tywin. Mm-hmm. I don't think Aegon gives a shit about Otto or fears Otto. Mm-hmm. All right, yes or no question. Laris jerks off to Aegon's feet, yes or no, this season?
This season?
season 3 or 4 as well. Any season.
You know, listen, I wasn't expecting the first scene where he did it with Alicent, so I think anything's on the table.
I like that answer. That's a good answer.
Or under the table, technically.
That's sneaky. Alicent tells Aegon there are many sacrifices for him to sit the throne. Anything to add there? It's pretty straight.
Again, I think it's kind of with this theme of the green trailer, right? Like, they're saying it about themselves. Like, Aegon's just getting out of hand. He should have never been named king.
Don't put your opinion in it. Just break down the scene.
Well, I'm just... okay, good point.
Come on,
Carry on.
This guy's being over here? Jesus. I'm not going to do that for when the blacks...
Yeah, right.
So we'll see. Shots of castles, dark castles, scary dragons flying overhead, Daemon sneaking in full armor, looks like Harrenhal.
Yeah, it looks like he's it looks like he's on some sort of solo mission to Harrenhal. We'll see what that's all about, but he's definitely there. It's definitely raining. It's apparently always raining at Harrenhal.
Yeah, the weather's terrible.
Yeah,
because it was raining at his camp too.
Yeah,
but maybe, and we'll have to see the order of these things because this is 8 episodes. The trailer obviously isn't in order, but I wonder what degree of that camp we saw is post that or pre that, and then he's like, all right, I got my guys, at least feet are on the ground, and now I'm going to Harrenhal. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I know, but I'm not going to say anything.
Nobody knows. We're not going to spoil anything for you guys. Mm-hmm. We got Aemon talking to Criston Cole.
Yeah, Criston Cole is wearing a little something-something around his neck.
You guys, watch the trailer, see what he's wearing, make your own interpretations of what that is, but he's definitely become he's the kingmaker.
Yeah, I mean, from the looks of it, it appears to be hands clasping each other around his neck.
He's just super kinky. He's into that kinky shit.
So maybe at some point he moves into a higher position. But yeah, it definitely looks like they're planning something there. And Aemon's
talking so much shit about Daemon. He's like, my uncle would be a good challenge should he dare face me.
Yeah, well,
that's so dope. That's so dope. Aemon ain't scared of shit.
Well, we'll see how that plays out later on.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. There's a shot of Egwene's funeral. King's Landing is in mourning. It seems as if the small folk is in mourning alongside Alicent Hightower.
You know, that's something that we talked about. I think we even hit on it while we were going through our reviews last season. But the small folk are, of course, going to embrace, like, there's someone sitting in the Iron Throne, like, that's the symbol of legitimacy, right? So the Greens have the advantage there, but they also have a male on the throne, and in this medieval setting...
Sexism is key.
Sexism is very much prevalent, so...
Also, at this point, I think it's pretty early on, so they aren't starving yet, they aren't pissed yet, follies of war haven't hit them, but they hit, you know, so that's...
Yeah.
That's sort of, as we saw with Joffrey, and of course, as you guys will see in Westeros stories coming soon from one of Chris's stories, that when the small folk are not fed in King's Landing, they have a history of looking at the king and being like, all right, let's fucking dance.
Yeah.
There's a shot of, it seems to be the Burning Mill and for you nerds out there who know these things, for those of you who don't, two houses called the Brackens and the Blackwoods potentially come into fisticuffs.
Yeah, and they are perpetually in fisticuffs, according to canon. But it does look like they're teasing what happened to be one of the first battles of the Dance of the Dragons. So,
do they live in the Crownlands? They like live around Riverlands. They live in the Riverlands,
yeah.
And they hate each other. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I assume they each take an opposite side. So that'll be fun to see.
Yeah, they always have these little quarrels, and kind of at the base of this one, there's this land around a mill that each of them claim. And, you know, they end up fighting over it, but one side is the Blacks and one side's the Greens. So,
right. Yeah. They're using that as the, as like, oh, well, we're supporting our queen or king, but really they just want that fucking mill. We saw in the teaser trailer, which we did break down, at the turn of the new year, Kristen Cole taking a swing and beheading someone. We then see a cut of him. It seems just walking away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he's wiping off his sword.
Otto is talking to Aegon and Alicent that now the only way to win out will require violence. He's making sure that they understand that. And we see a cut of a maid walking with what appears to be bloody robes.
Yeah. It's interesting that Otto's saying that. And I'll talk about this once we get to the Black's trailer as well. There is a genuine effort to keep the peace from the Hightower side. And, you know, obviously, as we enter season two and they're planning on two more seasons after this, that attempt doesn't really work out well.
Sounds great. Doesn't work.
I don't think that's too much of a spoiler to say.
No. Yeah.
But yeah, so that is an interesting angle, and Otto doesn't seem happy when he's delivering that line.
No, and I want to point something out too. And one of the things I wanted to say is that Otto's telling that, I think he's saying it more to Alicent than to Aegon. Because Alicent was the one at the end of season one who didn't want him to send the King's Guard and just go, make it clean and quick.
Yeah.
Otto always knew there was going to be violence. But the path that Alicent chose was to try to appease to Rhaenyra's motherly side, her friendship to her. And it didn't work, obviously, as you said. And I think Otto now is just like, you see, this is the only way. But I think Otto also, in no scene does he look good. He looks very uneasy. And in season one, I feel like even when times were tough for him, he had this collectiveness to him.
Yeah. I think, kind of like you were saying, he always knew that there was going to be violence, but the scale of it, he always tried to keep as narrow as possible.
Agreed. That's a great way to put it.
And, he fails, so. Just standard green behavior.
Aegon says, good, to war then. And then we see cuts of war. Kristen Cole charging into battle. We see Vhagar flying overhead. Same battle, question mark. We see other dragons flying around. It's confusing stuff.
Yeah. You go from Vhagar coming out of like clouds and smoke, potentially. And then you have Kristen Cole riding into the woods, which is probably the same woods that this dragon's flying over that we see in the trailer. So
it's pretty hot. Kristen looks great.
And it appears to be a very significant battle, and definitely appearing to be different than what we saw at the beginning with the Brackens and the Blackwoods.
Agreed. Alicent, as we said, ending the trailer as she started it, super introspective and I think reflective of her role in the pain and suffering that's to come. She says she always tried to serve her house and the realm, but like none of it matters. And she kind of like submerges in water. I think, like we said, there's potentially a dream sequence where she's on that bay.
Yeah.
The submerged in water, you know, it's pretty hot.
Could be a dream.
So we'll see. And the trailer ends with the dragon growling. The dragon growling online, people are speculating that it's Dreamfire, who is Helaena's dragon, and everyone is talking about how Dreamfire looks just like Dany's dragons, how all these dragons don't look like them except this one does. So of course there's a lot of like Reddit people who are like, Dreamfire is Drogon's mama.
Yeah. Definitely an intro. I love when everyone just like chimes in and like connects these dots.
Yeah.
It's fun to like, especially once we get week to week and the episodes are dropping, like it's fun to just have these open
sometimes
forums.
Is Rhaegar the Night King made me want to fucking just end everything. Because I was like, no. Yeah. But all the other speculations have been fun, except is Rhaegar the Night... Is Aemond the Night King?
Aemond...
Targaryen. I'm just going to do that randomly. Whenever a new character is introduced, I'm like, Chris, is Harwin strong the Night King? Because people were doing it with Rhaegar in like season 8, and we were like... No, he's not. And it didn't matter anyway, because the showrunners didn't even... It didn't matter.
It was cool when people debunked Rhaegar and why am I forgetting her name?
Lyanna Stark?
Jon Snow's mom, yeah.
No, but I agree.
That was cool when people debunked that one.
And the last note I have is 1080p, 30fps, which is just what I had to keep the camera set at, if you're watching this on YouTube. So there we go. That's all I had.
Wow, are they catching us in 4K?
1080p, okay. 30fps.
All right, cool.
30 frames per second.
Well, we can say... They're catching us.
This is IMAX.
just to be cool. Just so we sound
yeah, this
cool.
Is IMAX. Yeah, this is 70mm IMAX. This is what Christopher Nolan shoots in.
All right. Well, so that leads us to the cooler of the two trailers. The Blacks trailer.
Debatable. We already did the cooler. We can end the podcast now.
So they did the Blacks trailer. It opens up at a funeral at Dragonstone, it looks like. Can't really tell who it is that passed. Jace makes an appearance there.
Could be Lucerys. It could be.
It could be Lucerys.
Them doing a little thing, because remember Lucerys fell off his dragon at the end of season one.
Mm-hmm.
And he fell to his death, which is tragic.
It looked like little Joffrey was there, so who knows who that is passed, but that's where it opened up. Cyrax has a scene outside of Shipbreaker Bay, which, you know... That's apparently where Luke passed.
That's where he fell off his dragon.
So man fell off his dragon.
We're going to be hammering that narrative.
So maybe a body washed up, potentially a dragon's body, potentially Luke's body. We don't know, but it looks like Cyrax was kind of mourning.
I agree. And while this is happening, Rhaenyra's doing a voiceover, mm-hmm. and the voiceover drove me nuts.
Okay.
King Viserys chose her. 100% he did. Can't deny it. But then she says, and now Alicent Hightower's son sits my throne. This is her beef is with Alicent. It always has been. That's your brother. Take it up with him. She should be like, and now Aegon II, he's got the same name as the Conqueror. That's pretty cool. He sits my throne. But she says, Alicent Hightower's son. Well, super demeaning.
Well, let's talk about how in season one that Aegon didn't even want to take the crown. And it was, like, forced on him.
I think that's a good sign. I think it's like Jon Snow. If someone doesn't want the throne...
Right. So, like, why would Rhaenyra be pissed at him directly, you know? Like,
that's fair. Move on.
Yeah. So
we're going to edit that out.
Speaking of our queen, our beautiful queen, she's seen here feasting with some dragon seeds.
Oh, I'm so hyped.
Who have been identified online. We've also identified, but, you know... We're not going to, like, spoil who the dragon seeds are, but at first glance, it looked like she was just, like, talking to some of her council.
Yeah.
But when you take a closer look, those are some new characters that are coming in season two.
And some of them were in our March Madness tournament, and mm-hmm. you guys did not vote for them.
Yeah,
so
they're out.
That's on you.
They're out.
I will say, Rhaenyra, as you speculated correctly, looks great. They're not going to go the angle where she goes. Her despair will be immediate, I think. And then she's going to be like, all right, let's ride. Broncos country.
Yeah, it looks like she's putting on a proud face in front of her supporters. And then we have a scene where Jace and Cregan Stark are up north on the wall and then going through some woods, maybe heading to the wall or potentially north of the wall.
I'm curious. Obviously, we've talked about this. I'm curious what they're talking about. Well, we know what they're talking about, but why is Cregan like, hey, go on this trip with me. Let's go check this out. Maybe he's just trying to get the cut of Jace's jib a little bit, see what kind of man he is. And maybe this is what I'm saying, is maybe Cregan then is like, sees who Jace is, learns about his character, mm-hmm. and he's like, that affirms what my father did. I also will be team.
Yeah, I would like that angle. However, I think it's going to be something similar to when Jon Snow brought Dany and team up. Up
to see the walkers,
and try to like prove that walkers exist.
They're gonna go north with like seven guys and try to bring one back.
Yeah,
I hope so. That'd be a great episode.
Although I do hope maybe it's just more of a historical narrative, right? Where
that'd be great.
Cregan's like, hey, this massive wall was built to keep out this threat north of the wall. Like, this isn't a joke. You know, if I help you out here, like, it's with the understanding that eventually you'll help me out up here.
He's got ice on his shoulder. Yeah, you scratch your back. Or you scratch my back, I scratch yours. He's got ice on his shoulder.
Yeah.
He, Ryan Condal said he's very excited to get Cregan into the mix. I don't think season two he'll be really prevalent after those scenes.
Yeah.
But 3 and 4, we'll be seeing a lot of Mr. Stark.
Mm-hmm. We will see some Northmen, hopefully.
For sure.
In season two. And then we have that cut of Gawain Hightower. Who is Otto's son, right? Not his brother.
So yeah, he's his son, right. And they're. I think he's the old. He's technically older than even Allison. He's the oldest child of. That's how they're playing it in the show. They said he actually was technically in season one. This actor wasn't him, but it's who Damon unseats at the tourney.
Right. Yep.
Gawain. He looks a little startled.
Yeah, he. It looks like whatever plan he had didn't work out.
Yeah, but so, I mean, it's what makes a man is how he responds to adversity, and we will see how Gawain responds.
Yeah, he looked like that crackhead in Cops who got caught smoking in someone else's gangway.
Oh yeah, the poppy guy.
Yeah,
and the cops stop calling me poppy.
Okay, poppy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he looked like a crackhead, but he did look scared. How dare you say that about Gawain? I just learned who he is, and I'm already like, Gawain's my boy.
We have a scene of Corlys Velaryon appearing to wear a Hand of the Queen pin.
That's right there on the screen. It's a long cut of him talking. He's wearing the Hand of the Queen pin.
He's wearing it. He's talking to Rhaenyra. You know, where that falls in season two, who knows at this point, but it does look like Corlys Velaryon does go all in on Team Blacks.
Yeah. We have a pretty good idea. We were speculating ourselves. We're not going to share it. We're going to learn it together, but we have a pretty good idea. And then if what we shared together before the podcast turns out to be true, we'll then dunk, we'll spike the football on our own podcast.
Yeah.
That you can't verify if we came up with this idea or not.
I mean, you can message us, you know, at Deep Thrones Pod.
That's true. An individual reaches out to us and says, what is it? I don't care about spoilers. We'll be happy to. But.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Daemon rolling through Harrenhal again, raining. There is a scene where he's outside of his armor and he's kind of in like night clothes.
He's like in his PJs. Yeah. He's like walking around Harrenhal. Maybe not like scared. Like when he lands at Harrenhal in his armor, he looks like kind of like checking his six a little bit. Because it's technically is the stronghold of Laerys Strong at that point, isn't it? Harrenhal, because Harwyn and
his.
It should be
Laerys. Yeah, dead. His dad's dead too.
Yeah,
now,
Harwyn
right?
And.
Yeah,
and,
so
it's
a strong. It's a stronghold.
It's a stronghold. But in the pajama scene, he looks more just like creeping a bit. Interesting.
Yeah, he looks very curious in that PJ scene. So we'll see.
In the PJs.
And then we have a green funeral, which we talked about already. We don't need to get into that anymore. We won't talk about the greens anymore. Rick's Rest again, or Burning Mill, or whatever. I think it's pretty widely been debunked as Rick's Rest as that battle.
Yeah.
But we'll get more into that as we get closer to the season. And one thing that's interesting here, Vhagar kind of pops out of clouds or, you know, maybe smoke.
Yeah.
We don't know.
That's a good point. Could be smoke.
Didn't really look like clouds. So interesting angle there. And then we have potential cargo bowl action?
Question mark.
Maybe similar to a Clegane bowl. I don't know.
Yeah,
who knows?
Could be. We don't know.
We don't know.
But it definitely is going to be an epic sword fight. It looks like Aegon takes a swing at someone with a little billy club.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of like quick cuts of Bela on her dragon. It's stuff that we can't really piece together based on 5 seconds. We have postulated and guessed, but it's not worthy of putting on this podcast because it's unverified information.
Honestly, it'd be irresponsible for us to just rip that information.
I agree. And we refuse to, because we hold ourselves to a higher journalistic integrity than most. You're welcome.
Than the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, for sure.
And
we got beef.
I don't know.
That.
What are some other...
Did you see, I think it is Wall Street Journal or Washington Post is like going to be releasing an article on the LSU women's college basketball
coach.
Yeah, she is not happy
about
that.
Well, her publicist told her to try to get in front of that early, huh?
But the issue is that it's going to push people to the article.
Yeah.
She's going to come for our ass.
People would have
been bringing this up.
People would have read the article anyways.
Right, but I feel... 100%. But she just made it. It's like she even amplified it.
Yeah.
I think it's like amplifying her own undoing. Really quickly, I want to point out two things from each trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Is each trailer ends with like a rally cry. Mm-hmm. Kristen Cole says like a, hold to your courage for the one true King Aegon.
Yeah, that's super lame.
And then Rhaenyra is just, we fight for our queen.
Yeah.
Yeah, who do you think's saying that? Daemon?
Daemon.
Maybe. He definitely toughens up his voice for that, because Daemon has an interesting voice.
Yeah.
And then this ends with...
Daemon or Jace, maybe, actually.
Oh, Jace would
be
cool.
Jace, yeah.
Caraxes screams to end it.
Yes.
And Rhaenyra says, I fear what I've begun. What do you make of that?
I mean, I think it's just going to be pure chaos. I think a lot of the stuff, a lot of the negative feedback that people had about season one with, you know, the time jumps and, like, you know, just, like, not maybe enough action, but then, like, too many birth scene action.
There's about to be a lot of action.
I think we're not gonna have a shortage of action. We're not going to have a shortage of drama and backstabbing. We're not going to have a shortage of slippery sneakiness.
I love that. I love the slippery sneakiness.
I think it's going to be all... My prediction is season two is going to give us all the things that we fell in love with about Game of Thrones.
I agree. I do think it still will not capture the exact season one, two, three of Game of Thrones. I think it'll be a little different, and here's how. I'm not saying it's going to be rushed like seasons seven and eight, but it's eight episodes. And I think that each episode essentially will be an event onto of itself. You know what I mean? I don't think there's going to be much chaff.
No, I mean, it happens. The actual story itself happens faster.
It's bang, bang, bang.
Than A Song of Ice and Fire. I mean, yeah, A Song of Ice and Fire is not even finished yet, and there's over 8,000 pages.
Yeah, it happens a lot faster. You know, right? It's that story.
So, you know, the source material for House of the Dragon, I think, is maybe 500 pages of...
Of
this iteration of House of the Dragon. Like, of course, there's other Targaryen stories that they might call.
Oh, like in Fire and Blood, yeah. I think it's like maybe 200 pages or under that covers like 101 to...
Yeah. Well, and then they have the kinda, Fire and Blood, and then they have the pieces in A World of Ice and Fire, too.
They enhance it, yeah.
So,
awesome. So those are the two trailers.
Yeah.
And a couple of things that I would like to quickly say, if I may... one, June 16th, the release date. Two, we're going to have some episodes leading up to that. Obviously, our canonical episodes, our famous episodes, will be dropping every Monday after each episode of House of the Dragon. So June 17th, we'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also have Midweek Mayhem at that point. But we're going to have Westeros stories coming soon. Not going to make any promises on dates, but March Madness. March Madness.
March Madness.
We got that going on. Those votes are going to be the March Madness. Sweet 16 coming up.
We'll also have the two, we'll have a... review of season one episode.
That's right.
And then we'll have a what to expect in season two episode.
Those will be released the two Mondays leading up to June 17th. June 16th, of course, being the premiere, and June 17th being the technical premiere of our show, even though I would say this is more like it.
So we got a lot of content for you guys. So
yeah.
I don't want to hear anyone mouthing off.
Yeah. I just want to be honest. Them dropping the trailers right in the midst of our...
They could have done it a week before.
We literally were like, we should do a March Madness thing. And as we were doing it, we're like, you know what I like about this? It's a little complicated. We're not taking like the easy way. We're keeping track of this shit. We're making videos and all this. Mm-hmm. And then out of nowhere, HBO is like, fuck it. Drop the trailer. Drop the trailer? Nah, drop two. I got two more for y'all.
You know what? I got two more for you.
It's like, what? Great.
It's great though. It's all the content that we get, we will cover and we will consume and we'll give it to you guys.
The content we get, we will repay back 100 times over, just like Aegon says.
Okay, whatever. So all right, who's your prediction to win the war?
Hopefully Team Greens. Are you talking about this war? Oh yeah, Team Greens. let me go. Yeah, Team Greens.
Team Greens. Okay.
Do I got to pick a human that's to sit the throne?
No.
Aegon II.
I didn't know like how far you were gonna take your, you know, maniacal Team Green. Like, I mean, like,
listen,
you know,
I'm in it to win.
Let's be a little realistic here. Like, there's a right side and, you know, there's a green side.
Wow, that's the fact that you just said that as we're trying to close out the pot on a high note really speaks to your side's character. And I just want to say this: the green side was about peace. If you look at the green trailer, it was a lot about, like, Alicent and Otto being introspective about the decisions they've made. The Black's trailer was a lot about Rhaenyra being like, Alicent's son has my special chair.
Yeah, well, the king of the green side literally said, all right, let's do war then.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate that he said that, but people made mistakes.
All right, well, we appreciate you tuning in. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the trailer. Send us your thoughts on them at DethronesPod on Instagram and X.
And TikTok.
And then we will also be dropping a video component of this on YouTube. If you're joining us on the video component, we appreciate it. We will have some clips from the actual trailers still shots of the trailers that we'll show in the video component. So
yeah, check
us out. Follow like, subscribe. We love you guys. Sheeds?
Allison, hit me up. Let's get introspective together. Check out the head of the switch. Shoot it for some shoes. Hitters don't miss. Barry, you just had a turn of y'all to my list. Bitch, death wish not to be messed with. Test and quiz. They shooting shots.